and welcome back to your afternoon, right? It's your extended news at noon in lieu of let's talk right now, or I should say it's your turn. So Dave Mullarkey's on with me, and Dave, I hope you chuckle with that, because there are so many days I have to figure out, am I on my show or your show?
Hard to keep track of things these days.
I know, right?
Hello, Tracy. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. I know a lot of us miss your voice, Dave Mullarkey, of course. Been around for quite some time in the morning show, and it's your turn typically at this time. So we've been airing some interviews that are educational and informational, and then just having some fun, like right now. Dave, how have you been?
I've been fine. As fine as one could be during these unprecedented circumstances, that's for sure. Wow.
Right. As we're getting into the holiday, I'm wondering what your favorite holiday food is. Do you like burgers on the grill? Do you like the hot dogs? Do you like chicken on the grill? What do you eat this weekend because of it's the 4th of July?
Hamburgers and hot dogs, always my favorite on the 4th of July.
Got to have beans with it, too, at least in my house. Got to have the beans with the hot dog.
A little potato salad wouldn't hurt either.
Oh, that's good, too, right? Right? I know you have a historical lesson for us, and I'm excited to hear it because you are excellent with history, and it fits right into the 4th of July weekend.
Well, I think most people are familiar, at least vaguely familiar, with the Declaration of Independence and the Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia and so on and so forth, declaring independence from Great Britain. But you might not be as familiar with the Star-Spangled Banner and how that came about and how it came to be our national anthem. Now, that didn't take place during the War of Independence, which got underway in 1775. It was part of the War of 1812 when the United States declared war on Great Britain again. Hard to believe. It was, you know, what, 30 years after the American Revolution that we were at war with Britain again. This was over trade restrictions, British trade restrictions. They were trying to bar the U.S. from doing business with European markets, and they were kidnapping American sailors from the ships on the high seas and forcing them into the British Navy, and the U.S. declared war on Great Britain in 1812. Early on, the war went well for the U.S. One of the most famous battles occurred in our area, the Battle of Lake Erie. In September of 1813, the Americans won that, but the British eventually started to prevail. They invaded and captured Washington, D.C., in August of 1814, burned the White House, burned most of the public buildings in Washington, D.C. But I was very interested to read an article in the regular edition of the Elks magazine that wasn't particularly of strategic importance at the time. Remember, Washington, D.C. was very, very young yet. It was had only been constructed as the national capital a few years before that. What the British had their eye on was Baltimore, 40 miles away. At that time, it was the third largest city in the country and very, very important trade center and port. So the British decided they were going to capture Baltimore, which was guarded by Fort McHenry. And they had gathered a fleet, and they were going to sail up Chesapeake Bay and take it. Well, it so happens that young lawyer at the time, Francis Scott Key, was negotiating a prisoner trade with the British. And he had gone out to the flagship of the British fleet, anchored at the mouth of the Potomac River, and actually successfully negotiated the terms of this prisoner trade. But the British admiral suspected that Francis Scott Key may have guessed that they were going to sail up and take Baltimore. So he forced him to stay on a ship that he had sailed out on. They towed it behind the British fleet as they went up Chesapeake Bay and began the bombardment of Fort McHenry. It was at dawn on September 13th of that year that the British started a 24-hour bombardment of Fort McHenry, using, among other things, rockets. Now, a lot of folks might say, rockets? We didn't have rockets, did we? And back in those days, well, actually, the British Army had just developed a rocket, a very primitive rocket, a few years earlier. And they threw about 600 or 700 of them at Fort McHenry throughout that night. The next morning, at dawn on September 14th, Francis Scott Key, who was on this boat being towed behind the British fleet, looked out at dawn, and there was the U.S. flag still flying high over Fort McHenry. The British eventually gave up. The fleet left, And the rest is history. And Francis Scott Key wrote a poem within the next few hours, which later became our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. It wasn't the original title, by the way. That's interesting. He originally titled the poem The Defense of Fort McHenry. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Star-Spangled Banner. But it was published by newspapers all over the country and eventually became known as the Star-Spangled Banner. One final thing, though, that's very interesting. Even though he wrote this, this is in the early 1800s, it did not become the national anthem until 1931, 120 years later, when Herbert Hoover signed legislation from Congress making it the national anthem. So an interesting story that perhaps many folks not be familiar with as we head into Independence Day weekend.
It'd be interesting to understand why it took that long, or why did Hoover or whomever it was pick up that poem to say this is it, this is the one?
Well, it was legislation passed through Congress, first of all.
Okay.
It just happened to be Herbert Hoover was the president at the time. You know, he's the one who signed it. But most people might not realize that, you know, the national anthem is officially, it's less than 100 years old. It was 1931, even though the poem and the song was around for a lot longer than that.
Interesting. Thank you, Dave, for the history lesson. You are always so well-versed in history, so I appreciate that, especially going into the weekend.
And happy Independence Day, Tracy, to you and all of our listeners.
And happy 4th of July to you as well, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. We'll hopefully see you soon, and you take care.
Thanks, Trace. Bye-bye.